Hallelujah. Let's give our young people another hand clap. Amen. Amen. Do you know how blessed we are to have these young people? How blessed we are. That is a blessing, y'all. You know, they are still of an age where they are teachable. They're still at an age where they are trainable. They're still at an age where they love to sing songs to the Lord. You know, as our children get older and as they become teenagers, some they get too busy, others they get too cool, right? They just don't want to be up there. They're too cool to be singing for the Lord. And, you know, I guess parents have changed because when most of us grew up, we didn't get a choice. Amen. Amen. And I'll be honest, I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. As long as they in my house, they don't get a choice on everything. Amen. But I'll let you lead your house how you want to lead your house. But I wish that we had more teenagers up in here singing for the Lord. Amen. 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 But God is good. God is good. And because we have a short meeting with the men after church, and because I need to get out of here immediately after service, I'm going to get right into the word, if you don't mind. So if you don't mind, let us stand for the honoring of God's holy word, which is coming today from the New Testament book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4. And I believe what I've got up is the New Living Translation on our overhead, the New Living Translation from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Let us read it together. Ready, set, read. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. You may be seated. You may be seated. May God add a blessing to the hearing, reading, and understanding of his holy word. May God's word be a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. And for the time that is set before us today, my brothers and sisters, I'd like to shine the sermonic spotlight on verse number 8 of our text, on verse number 8 of our text, which says, fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, and what is pure, what is lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent, and think about things that are worthy of praise. Amen? And from that text, my brothers and sisters, my thought is very simple. It's fixing your thoughts. Fixing your thoughts. Everyone in here over the age of 10 years old, I believe, has something in their life that needs fixing. It may be something in your home. It may be something in your heart. It may be your health that needs fixing. It may be your relationships, your fellowships. It may be your car, it may be your credit, it may be your grades, it may be your teeth, but there's something in your life that needs fixing. But have you ever considered that maybe what's broke and maybe what needs fixing is your thoughts? The United Negro College Fund said it well when they coined the phrase that a mind is a terrible thing to waste. You know, wasting money and wasting potential and wasting time is bad enough. But a wasted mind is both devastating and destructive. Whereas our heart is the home of our desires, it is our minds that house the thoughts that become the actions that you and I ultimately partake in. In the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 23 and 7, it says that as a person thinks, so are they. In other words, it's saying it is the thoughts that you possess that reflect the type of person that you are. A happy person has happy thoughts. A funny person has funny thoughts. An evil person has evil thoughts. A foolish person has foolish thoughts. A wise person has wise thoughts. And a holy person has holy thoughts. That is why it is so important for us to fix our thoughts. That is why sometimes our bad behaviors and our bad habits generally are the result of bad or negative thoughts. I read somewhere where it says that a bad attitude is like a flat tire. You can't go anywhere unless you fix it. You can seek the aid of counselors, you can go to doctors, you can exercise, and you can take medication. Or, like fixing that flat, you can simply change your perspective and start fixing your thoughts. Have you ever been sitting around just chilling like a villain, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a crazy thought enters your mind? I don't care where you are. You could be at home. You can be on the job. You can even be in church in the middle of a prayer, and a crazy thought will just enter your mind. Am I by myself? And at that time, you experience what I call that whoa moment. It's like, whoa, where did that come from? I know that thought is not from God. And sometimes you might have wanted to slap yourself just to make sure that thought got ejected from your mind. That thought was about something that you said you'd never do. But that thought said, why don't you try it? That thought might have been about something you said you would never get. But that thought said, baby, you got the money. Why don't you go ahead and buy it? I don't know about you, but has it ever occurred to you that perhaps what is going on is you need to spend time fixing your thoughts? What type of person do you consider yourself to be? And then think about what kind of person you desire to be. If the two are not the same, perhaps it is because you need to start your analysis by examining your thoughts. The Bible says, as you think, so are you. So if you are not the person you desire to be, perhaps it is because you aren't thinking the thoughts you desire to have. We all know it's hard to be holy all of the time because our nature is selfish and our nature is corrupt. We all know that sometimes, like Burger King, we like to have it our own way. And we all know that sometimes, like Almond Joy, sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't. Oh, I wish I had some help up in here on this Sunday morning. But when you are selfish, and even when you get nutty sometimes, you rebel and you reject, you react based on your feelings, and your feelings are intricately linked to your thoughts. Remember, as a person thinks, so are they. So as a person thinks, so they do. Let me give you an illustration to try to help you understand this point. I am going to say a word, and then I want you to repeat that word 5 times in rapid succession, and I'll give you the fingers to do it. I'm going to say a word. I want you to repeat that word 5 times in rapid succession. And immediately after that, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to see if you can be the first person to answer the question. Has everybody got it? Are you ready? Okay. The word is white. The word is white. Are you ready? 5 times.
White, 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 white.
What do cows drink?
Milk.
Okay. Raise your hand if you said milk. Okay. Cows don't drink milk. Cows make milk. Cows cows drink water. But see, in just that short amount of time, your mind was conditioned to think about the word white, and your response was based on that thought. That is why, my brothers and sisters, if you want to improve your situation, you've got to improve your thoughts. If you want to increase your joy, if you want to negate all of this negativity, if you want to eradicate all of the evil you find yourself in, you need to start by fixing your thoughts. In the Bible, in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is imploring the brothers and sisters of that Philippi church that they must stay true to the teachings of the Lord. And staying true to the Lord, my brothers and sisters, simply requires that you align your actions with the words and with the works of the teachings of Jesus. And in order to do this, it is your thoughts that must be focused on that which is positive. It is your thoughts that must be focused on that which is praiseworthy. Think of the last time you lost your cool. Some of us don't have to think long. But think of the last time you lost your cool. It is likely that that behavior resulted from bad, negative, or angry thoughts. See, in order for you to walk in the light, your thoughts must be of the light. So in other words, my brothers and sisters, you must start by fixing your thoughts. So someone may ask, well, brother pastor, tell me, give me an example of how I can start fixing my thoughts. And here is your first point. To start fixing your thoughts, the first thing that you must do is avoid what I call stinking thinking. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, make sure your thinking ain't stinking. Turn to another person, say, neighbor, make sure your thinking ain't stinking. Amen. What is stinking thinking? Stinking thinking, my brothers and sisters, is that thinking which is cynical, that thinking which is critical, that thinking which is hurtful and harmful, that thinking which is negative and nasty, that thinking which is unproductive and unforgiving. And it is stinking thinking that leads to arguments and leads to fights and ultimately leads to division. Stinking thinking has caused churches to fall. It has caused marriages to fail. It has caused businesses to fold. And therefore, you and I must do our very best to avoid stinking thinking. Church divisions, my brothers and sisters, and church dysfunction with church people is not new. For the church at Philippi had people who were at odds with one another, and Paul was pleading with them to settle their disagreements and to work things out. Now, the people themselves, they were saved, but they were steeped in this stinking thinking. But I'm here to tell someone today that God is looking for a people who are willing to raise a standard and who are committed to fixing their thoughts. Oh, I wonder if there's anyone here who is willing to start fixing your thoughts. Is there anybody here who's willing to start working on fixing your own thoughts? Anybody here who knows you're not all that you could be and know that you're not all that you should be, but you praise God every day you're not all that you used to be? God is looking for a people who will raise a standard, people who have faith in Jesus and whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and who have a desire to live a life that is pleasing to God, who want to honor God, who want to represent God and want to please God in all they do. He's looking for people who don't want to disappoint him, that don't want to grieve his spirit, that don't want to embarrass the God they claim they love. He wants people who see life as a glass half full and not a glass half empty. People who are willing to start fixing their thoughts. before they can start fixing the thoughts of somebody else. And you do this how, my brothers and sisters? Well, you start by getting rid of your stinking thinking and start by fixing your thoughts. Paul, in verse 8, he tells us how to fix our thoughts. In verse 8, Paul says, now, my dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, and what is admirable. So Paul tells you to start fixing your thoughts. You must start focusing on those things that are true. Start focusing on those things that are honorable. Start focusing on those things that are right. And make sure that your every thought lines up with the things that Jesus taught. Now, I'm going to get out of my lane for a minute. So I'm in the highway. I'm putting on my blinker, and I'm about to switch lanes for a moment because this is Youth Sunday, amen? And we've got some young people sitting over here, and I got to make sure they understand something. Young people, you got to make sure that when you start dating and when you start looking at people of the opposite sex, that you make sure that your thoughts are decent and honorable and true. But also make sure that their thoughts are decent, honorable, and true. Can I get an amen? Amen? Oh, I see somebody over there talking about, Pastor, cut, 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 cut. Oh, no, I'm going to preach the truth. Amen, amen. Y'all know I've got a daughter. Now, my daughter's grown now. She's 23. So now she can do what she wants to do. But when she was in my house living in Bartlett, she knew there was some rules. Amen. And my daughter knew better than to just bring anybody on by my house. My daughter knew better than to have somebody pull up in the driveway honking the horn for her to come out. She knew better than to just bring somebody looking like nothing come knocking on my door. See, my daughter knew that that conversation would not be good. Because, see, in my sanctified imagination, I know what I would do. If that brother came up to my door and didn't have flowers in one hand and candy in the other hand, if he couldn't come to the door and say, hello, Mr. Robinson, my name is so-and-so, that brother did not stand a chance. If he came to my house with earphones in his ear, his pants hanging down, his underwear showing, he would not stand a chance. See, in my house, if that brother came to my door, come ringing my bell with earphones in his ear and a phone in his hand talking about, is Lania home? I say, yeah. He say, well, can you tell her to come down? I say, no. If he said, why not, I'd simply tell him this. I'd say, because his mother and I have enough good sense to understand you don't take a thoroughbred and hook him up with a mule. So young people, you make sure that your intentions are right and you make sure their intentions are right. Now I got my blink on, I'm jumping back in the other lane now. So we've got to make sure that our thoughts are true, they are admirable, they are right. So when you get lied on, don't focus on the lie. Focus your thoughts on the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So instead of focusing on the one who lied on you, you focus on the one who died for you. See, the next time you are criticized, don't focus on the negative words that they said. You focus on the positive words that God said. God said you are the head and not the tail. God said you are a royal priesthood. God said you're the apple of his eye. God said you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Those negative things they say about you, baby, that's just their opinion. And can I tell you something about opinions? Opinions are like buttholes. Everybody got one and they all stink. You got to fix your thoughts on the gospel truth. If God be for you, Who can be it? Somebody help me preach this sermon today. Fix your thoughts on what is right. Now, the Bible doesn't say fix your thoughts on being right. It says fix your thoughts on that which is right. If you're angry, don't think about getting even. If you're broke, don't think about stealing. If you're lonely, don't think about taking someone that does not belong to you. So here's your second point of trying to fix your thoughts. Point number two is fix your thoughts on what God requires and not what the flesh desires. Fix your thoughts on what God requires and not what your flesh desires. If you find yourself walking around the house talking about, I'm tired of how you do this, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of that. If you're tired, go take a nap. Just lay down, chill out, take a nap. I'm sick of what you're doing. I'm sick. If you're sick, go get you some medicine. Go see a doctor and just chill out a little bit. In verse 9, let me go, y'all. In verse 9 of our text. Y'all not ready for this today. In verse 9 of our text, the Apostle Paul tells us this. He says, keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me. This is Paul talking. He says, everything you heard from me, everything you saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Understand, there's this if and then. He says, if you put into practice those things that you have heard from me, those things that you have seen me do, if you put those things into practice, then the God of peace will be with you. Don't you understand, when a man or a woman of God tells you something from the book of God, you must not only listen, my brothers and sisters, but you must learn, and you learn by what? Putting it into practice. Too many times we got folks in church want to shout they hallelujah, but Jesus want to see a little dooleluya. He wants to see you doing the word and not just lipping the word. We're too quick to lip the word, but you've got to live the word. You've got to put things into practice, my brothers and sisters. Don't you understand, to be good takes practice? The dancers that you saw, they didn't just come on Saturday and decide to do that. That took practice. The cherubs that you saw singing, that took practice. These professional athletes that are making hundreds of millions of dollars, they don't just wake up one day and start doing that. It takes practice. And it takes practice for us to put in the word of God into our lives. And we can start by fixing our thoughts on the things of God. The Bible says, only then will you experience God's peace. Is there anybody here that's tired of arguing? Tired of fighting, tired of butting heads, tired of crying those crocodile tears? Has your way been working? Are you enjoying peace doing what you're doing? The Bible says that, not the Bible, but the world says that it is crazy to do the same thing and expect different results. You need to start by fixing your thoughts. Stop fighting fire with fire and start fighting fire with love. The Bible says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But then it says, come to me and learn of me. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to learn the things of God, and we learn the things of God by practicing those things. Haven't you yet learned that God won't bless no mess? So here's your third point for today. Here's your third point. First point is avoid thinking. The second point is fix your thoughts on what God requires and not what your flesh desires. And your third and final point is simply this. If you want God's peace, you've got to think God's thoughts. If you want God's peace, you must start thinking God's thoughts. What are God's thoughts? I'm glad somebody asked. God's thoughts are those thoughts that are admirable, those thoughts that are noble, those thoughts that are pure, those thoughts that are right, those thoughts that are praiseworthy. His thinking is not stinking. You have to understand this, that negativity opens the door to profanity, whereas positivity opens the door to sanity. So let me close this sermon by giving you this illustration, because the Bible says that we must start changing our thinking. That God says when things aren't going your way, that we not need to start thinking of something that is pure. And when I think of something that is pure, what comes to my mind is sugar. When I buy sugar, I look on the front to make sure it says pure sugar. I don't want any of that stuff that's not pure, that's impure. I think of pure sugar. And I don't know if you remember, but when I was literally a very, very young toddler, there was a movie that came out that starred Julie Andrews. And the name of that movie was Mary Poppins. Anybody remember that movie, Mary? Yeah, a lot of us, young people, y'all probably don't know anything about Mary Poppins. But there was a movie called Mary Poppins, and it was about a nanny who came into a wealthy family that was totally dysfunctional. And she was trying to teach the kids of that family how to function in a normal society. And one of the ways she did that was through music and song, my brothers and sisters. And one of the songs that she had was a song called A Spoonful of Sugar. Y'all remember that song? Do y'all remember how it goes? Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down. Medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. In a most delightful. Y'all did good. Amen. Amen. Well, here's why I want to tell you. See, when I'm going through trouble and when I'm going through problems, I think of that song. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the what? Medicine go down. And I'm here to tell somebody that the next time you find yourself in a compromising situation, try thinking of that song. The next time your boss walks into your office with a mean attitude, getting on you about what you didn't do or what you should be doing, when they finish their rant and rave and they ask you, what do you have to say for yourself? You simply say, just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine. Can you imagine you in a grocery line? You next in line, and you've been waiting a long time. They finally open up that line next to you. And the lady says, next in line, move over. You next in line, but the person behind you, they cut in front of you. Now, you mad. You got an attitude because you've been standing in line. Can you imagine going behind that person, whispering in their ear, just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine. All right, y'all don't like that one. Think about when you're on the highway. And a motorist pulls up next to you and they don't like your driving. They pull up beside you, they roll down their window and they start calling you everything but a child of God. You roll down your window and you start singing, just a spoonful of sugar. All right. Think about when you come home. And you come home and them people that were home when you left, somebody kidnapped them, and you come home and it's a bunch of demons that have taken their place. And you come into the house, you feeling good, things are looking good, and before they even say hello, they start hollering at you and getting on your case and getting on your nerves. And soon as they stop, you just sing what? Just a spoonful of sugar. I'm trying to bless somebody, but what you've got to do is start fixing your thoughts. You've got to think on things that are pure. You've got to think on things that are true. You've got to think on things that are admirable. You've got to start thinking about things that are praiseworthy. Don't worry about those folks who are lying on you. Don't worry about those folks who are putting you down. You think on the things of God. You think on how God has been good to you, how God has blessed you, how even though you don't have everything you want, you got everything you need, that God has given you more than enough, because he is a God of more than enough. When you need peace, God gives you peace. When you need joy, God will give you some joy. And when you need to get rid of some of those haters, you just start singing, just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Give God a hand clap of praise. God's peace, you must start thinking God's thoughts, my brothers and sisters. And it can start by simply fixing your thoughts. Fixing your thoughts. If you've got financial problems, Jesus can fix it. If you have health problems, Jesus can fix it. If you've got a hole in your soul, Jesus can fix it. But it is you who must start fixing your thoughts. Amen.